Blog Talk Radio.
Boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book at .com. I'm looking for, tells me I have it, but I don't see it. I don't see it. Let me give you another a tune before I break into this show tonight. Let me see what we got for you. It's going to be a tribute to a guy named Louis Pepe.
Oh.
as you know, there's five Al-Qaeda coming to New York to be tried in federal court and in New York courts. And people are divided on whether or not it's a good thing. I can tell you it's a bad thing. I can tell you that it's the worst thing that we could do. Everybody has forgotten 911, and we're all going to get deja vu all over again. Not that we should forget 911, but I don't want to see New York City turned into a Beirut 2. And that's what's going to happen when this bribe-taking communist attorney general, Eric Holder, and you don't have to take money to take bribes. You can take political favors. Brings Al-Qaeda to New York, there's going to be nothing but trouble. And Mayor Bloomingdale has no idea what he is letting himself in for. This will not be a Harvey Milk rally. He's in trouble, and so is the police commissioner. And they're going to get a little Fort Hood wake-up because Al-Qaeda will be coming for the trial, too. And we've invited them to come kill us. Okay. So having said that, let me jump out of what I'm doing because it looks like I can't upload the file I wanted to give you tonight because they're telling me it's there, but I can't find it. So hang in there 1 second and let me get to another tune to buy a little time. Here we go.
Between the pages of my mind, memories sweeten through the ages just like wine. Quiet thoughts come floating down and settle softly to the ground like gold of autumn leaves around my feet. I touch them and they burst apart with sweet memories. Sweet memories of holding hands and red bouquets and twilights trimmed in purple haze and laughing eyes and simple ways and quiet nights and gentle days with you. Memories press between the pages of my mind. Memories sweeten through the ages just like wine. Memories, memories of holding hands and red bouquets and twilights trimmed in purple haze and laughing eyes and simple ways and quiet nights and gentle days with you. Memories press between the pages of my mind. Memories sweeten through the ages just like wine. Memories.
corners of my heart. Yes, I know you'd start a little flame in my heart. Zoom when you think of my heart. Yes, I know you'd start a little flame in my heart. Do you remember the time we met? Your love was mine. Do you remember the night we met? Well, Zoom, when you think of my heart, yes, I know you start a little flame in my heart.
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party. And tonight it's Spirit of America Party time. I was glad to see Brazil take the Olympics away from the Chicago communists. The Brazilians will do good in Rio de Janeiro. They'll clean up the city before the money spenders get there. And it'll be a shot in the arm for their economy. In Chicago, all that there would have been was graft and corruption, like in Washington, D.C. Forced health care.
Como um bom bocado pra te devorar, como um brigadeiro pra te lambuzar. Põe a mão no bolo pra comemorar,
pra te comemorar, pra te comemorar.
Dança o miudinho pra te conquistar. O violeiro toca e se toca, de olho no chifre da morena. Aqui zoeira, que festa de arromba. Põe essa galera pra samba, é debaixo da saia.
Ai, 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 ai,
brincadeira pra te lambuzar. Põe a mão no bolo pra comemorar. Dança o meiozinho pra te conquistar. O violeiro toca e se toca, te olhando cheio da morena. A de zoeira, de festa, de arromba. Põe essa galera pra samba. É debaixo da saia que eu vou. É debaixo da saia que eu tô. É debaixo que eu vou ficar. É debaixo da saia que eu vou. É debaixo da saia que eu tô. É debaixo que eu vou ficar. Só pra te olhar. Ai, 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 ai. Ai, 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 ai. Vai ser! Ai, 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 ai. Ai, 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 ai.
Cal Jada playing the contemporary music of Brazil. Married to a Brazilian girl, you know how you can tell if she's getting ready to get rid of you? One of two things. You'll either wake up one morning with a shrunken head, or she'll paint your body blue. What'd you think? Did you like that one? You know what the name of that tune is? A Brazilian Soft Shoe. So how do you like that? That was pretty good, right? Did you ever notice, you know, when people speak with the foreign accents, that Americans that don't like it, they pretend they don't understand them when they do? It's like the French who pretend not to speak English or when we go there and ask them questions about, are all the Germans gone? Oh, you can't do that. The French are very sensitive. Pardon, monsieur. Voulez-vous les boches? Yeah, that's what happened in France, you know. I'm getting a kick out of John Gambling. You know John Gambling? John Gambling, he gets on the show and he tells everybody he's an American. And then he says, sign up for my, we're going to Paris. Let me tell you something, John. Nobody goes to Paris from the United States. The last time we were in Paris, they changed the balcony flags from swastikas to Old Glory. And right after we left, they put up somebody else's flag. Nobody goes to Paris anymore, John. Paris is on the boycott list. And but I will tell you one thing. I would love to see more Americans go to Normandy. And they should get down on their knees at some GI's gravesite and thank him for the life that they have been able to live and not have to have ended up in a concentration camp or been bayoneted for entertainment. But Americans have short memories when it comes to the sacrifice of their fellow Americans. And today it's hard to find an American. And usually if you find him, he's a veteran. And he still remembers what World War II was like. So my next tune I'm going to dedicate to all the veterans, those guys that I love, those average American guys who did everything they could to keep us alive. And we are alive today because of their sacrifice. And now we betray them. 120,000. We're going to leave them on the battlefield and stab them in the back, just like the Democrats did to the Nam vets. Just like the Democrats who brought the Nam vets to Vietnam and then left them in the rice paddies to carry their buddies' bodies out. And then blamed it all on Nixon. And that's the Democrat Party, blame and deflect. They had nothing to do with the bombing of the World Trade Center in 93. They made fun of the Al-Qaeda terrorists in 93. They portrayed them as mischievous children. And those mischievous children, it came back to finish the job. They were on a time and materials program. And we gave them enough time, and we gave them all the materials. And the first thing that the Democrats did was form a committee to cover up and deflect the blame from them to the Bush administration. And poor George, George came in thinking he was going to have a Clinton good old time, and he got a wake-up call in a grammar school. And I'm sorry that George, when he got the word in that grammar school, didn't tell those kids what was really happening and say, children, your president has to leave because America is on the run today. We have been hit hard by terrorists. We never saw it coming. The FBI failed you. The CIA failed you. I failed you. Your government has failed you. And all the book writers have failed you. And the media has failed you. And the party of death, those baby-killing, flag-burning Democrats have failed you the most. But rest assured, I will not rest until every dirty Al-Qaeda is dead. And this I promise you. But instead, he went to the polls and said, well, what are they saying today? How much can we get away with? God help us. God help us with George at the helm, but at least the ship is on course. Wait till the Democrats mutiny and drive us up on the rocks. And that's coming. We're about 10 minutes away from that. But what I'm looking forward to with a heavy heart, and I know I'm going to cry the day I see it, when that first aircraft carrier takes a Russian, a Chinese missile, and 80 planes go up in flames along with jet fuel and fuel oil, and nuclear material goes into the Persian Gulf, and 5,000 sailors are bobbing, waiting to be rescued, while all those other ships run around beeping their horns. And that day is going to be the day that you, Mr. America, you get your goddamn draft notice. And you know what? Canada's not going to take you in. Because Canada is as full of traitors now. They're all full up, but they can't take in one more traitor. So God help us all, because this war is just beginning, and we haven't learned anything. We haven't learned anything. And you know when you'll have learned something? When you see the troops in the field carrying flamethrowers. And then you'll know the fit has hit the shan. So, in the meantime, you can debate all... That was the great Dizzy Gillespie.
There we go.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party in the Spirit of America Party book at .com. It is reported tonight that President Obama bin Laden has signed 5 executive orders. That's 4 more than most presidents have done in their first few days in office. Okay, but that's neither here nor there. But 3 of them are related to the protection of terrorists at the expense of the American people. So I'm going to give you a deja vu, a rendezvous, and I'm going to tell you that everything goes back to the Clintons, who are now in power again. Obama is not in power. He's not his own man. The Clintons are calling all the shots, and all the Clinton termites are calling all the shots. And I'm going to talk to you about a guy who's forgotten. He's one of the first victims of terrorism on the Clinton watch, and his name is Louis Pepe. He was a 300-pound federal prison guard in New York City. Okay. And today, he feels his way around an empty room because he's blind. Not only is he blind, but he's subject to seizures. His life is not worth living. He has to reinforce hope every day. Okay. He was the victim of a double-teamed attack while he was escorting 2 terrorists who were responsible for the World Trade Center bombing that Clinton ignored. Okay. And these 2 terrorists were living a cozy life in a New York City jail. And they didn't even have inspections in their prison cell. And they didn't toss their bunks because they had rights, just like the Gitmo murderers are going to have rights over your rights, your right to live and survive. So Louis Pepe was escorting 2, not 1, but 2 terrorists back to their cells. And one of them sprayed his face with hot sauce and blinded him. And the other one took a comb that he bought in the commissary and sharpened it down to a dagger and stabbed him in the eye 3 inches into his brain. Okay? And when the FBI came to see the video, because there's videos in all of the prison walks, there was no video. How's that? No video. One guard with 2 criminals. One unarmed guard with 2 criminals. So Louis Pepe got no justice. But the sad part about it is, when Louis Pepe went to court to listen to the sentencing of the terrorist that stabbed his life away, the judge said that it wasn't an act of terror. I think her name is Brenda Batts, and her middle name is Ding. And when Pepe protested, she had him removed from the courtroom. I'm surprised she didn't try and stab him in the other eye. So I'm going to read you some excerpts on the reporting that took place at the time that this happened. So hang in there a second. If you Google Louis Pepe, you'll get Louis Pepe, the actor, for pages and pages. But Louis Pepe, the victim, the all-around American good guy, you'll be hard to find him. Soon he will disappear as the communists rewrite history. Louis will be gone from Google Earth. Prison guard claims government is sanitizing his brutalization. This is from a left-wing article, okay? Louis Pepe was a federal prison guard at MCC Manhattan in 2000, the year 2000, when he was brutally attacked, stabbed in the eye, and more, by two of the defendants in the case involving the 1998 bombings of the U.S. embassies in Africa. One of the attackers, Mamdou Mahmoud Salim, was reported to be an associate of Osama bin Laden, who Clinton never got. But he went around asking, when is Bush going to get bin Laden for 8 years? Salim gets a sentence Monday, and Pepe plans to be there. He is outraged that Salim will only get 17 to 21 years for the assault. That's murder to me. You take a man's eye, what is the saying, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth? You take a man's eye, you take his life. Even though he is facing trial and a possible life sentence on conspiracy charges for the 1998 attack. We can't say we blame him. If you read the account of the attack, it sounds horrific. But what's up with Pepe's claim that the U.S. government has downplayed the attack and cast him in a role that suggests he was careless in allowing the attack to happen? This is one sad story, and here's some of it. In an interview Sunday with the Associated Press, who does not love America, Pepe sat in his wheelchair in a small room in a Queens house where he lives with his parents. Pepe and the government and Salim have combined to sanitize what Pepe said the government and Salim have combined to sanitize what happened on the 1st of November. This guy gets stabbed in the eye on All Saints Day. Portraying the assault as quick and almost entirely Salim's doing after the guard failed to handcuff the inmates. Pepe said he will tell the judge how he properly handcuffed the inmates before they slipped free, blinded him with hot sauce, beat him repeatedly, and even tried to rape him before stabbing him to get his keys in a bid to free other suspected terrorists. Both of them did it, not just one, Pepe said excitedly, his right eye wide open and a piece of gauze resting in the socket where his left eye used to be. Pepe said the attack lasted an hour rather than 20 minutes that prison authorities maintain it took for help to arrive from less isolated parts of Manhattan's Metropolitan Correctional Center. Pepe described how he resisted throughout the attack, even giving his inmates his house keys when they demanded his prison keys. He said the inmates scrawled the sign of the cross in his blood on his chest before they left him for dead. In the end, Pepe walked out of the cell block, the sharpened comb still stuck in his eye. He said Sunday that he had warned the government before the attack not to let the terrorism inmates bunk together or be issued sturdy plastic combs and condiments such as hot sauce and honey. For more than 2 years, Pepe was hospitalized. He suffered a stroke that left him partially paralyzed. You don't even know this guy. You don't even know this act of terror took place downtown New York City. When they demanded his prison keys. For more than 2 years, he was hospitalized. He suffered a stroke, and he left him partially paralyzed, along with pneumonia, a collapsed lung, seizures, infections, a blood clot, and high fevers. He underwent brain surgery and spent 3 weeks in a coma. He still lives in a modest home where he once took care of his ailing parents, who now take care of him, despite their ages of 79 and 80. We want his name cleared, says Pepe's father, Frank Pepe, emphasizing the family's discontent with the government's level of support for his son. We want the house fixed. I'm not going to live forever. I want him set up so he's comfortable. Pepe sleeps on a small donated bed and maneuvers his wheelchair across worn floors. Almost no one visits him.
Pepe's head is pained from the collapsed left side of his head to the stroke-damaged legs is chronic. Every day it hurts so much that it feels like I'm going to be dead. And we hope that the truth comes out. How's that? Okay, that's one article. Hang in there, I'll give you somebody else's article. This I found on Federal Jack. Panel rules a jail stabbing constituted terrorism. New York Times, a reputed former leader of Al-Qaeda, who was serving 32 years in prison for stabbing a jail guard in 2000, must be resentenced, a federal appeals panel in Manhattan ruled on Tuesday, because a judge wrongly concluded that the man's crime did not meet the legal standard for terrorism. Federal prosecutors who argued that the attack met the standard for terrorism, and this is what's going to go on here in the new, all over the country when these Al-Qaeda boys leave Gitmo, and you know what? They're going to all come back to haunt us, whether they come back in Afghanistan and kill more Americans, or Iraq, or in Djibouti, or in New York City and in Texas. They're coming. And federal prosecutors, they have a life's work. It's their life's work to kill Americans. They want to put the cross in blood on your chest. Federal prosecutors who argued that the attack met the standard for terrorism had sought a life sentence for the defendant, Mamdou Mahmoud Salem. Officials have described him as a founder of Al-Qaeda and a former top aide to Osama bin Laden. He pleaded guilty to stabbing the guard, Louis Pepe, in 2002. Prosecutors said the stabbing was part of a fruitless plan to take hostages and escape from the Metropolitan Correctional Center in Lower Manhattan, downtown New York, and nobody knew what was going on. And nobody knew on September 10, 2001, there was anything going on. Mr. Pepe, who was stabbed in the eye, was left with severe brain damage. At the time of the stabbing, Mr. Salem was awaiting trial in a terrorist conspiracy case stemming from the 98 bombings of two American embassies, which Clinton ignored. I still remember the people in Kenya and Tanzania. I seen 500 blacks sitting in blood. They were just passers-by, in which 224 people were killed. He later testified that he had become frustrated with his lawyers and stabbed Mr. Pepe so he could take his keys, unlock a visitor's room, and attack his lawyers so they would withdraw from his case. In sending the case back for a new sentence, a three-judge panel of the United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit held unanimously that the attack included the required elements to be considered a crime in the furtherance of terrorism under the sentencing guidelines at the time. Judge John Walker Jr. wrote the decision, which was joined by Judges John O. Newman and Sonia Sotomayor. Eileen L. Trotter, Mr. Pepe's sister, said after being told of the ruling, "This is definitely our early Christmas gift." She said that her brother continues to improve with the assistance of physical therapy and treatments. And Richard B. Lind, who represents Mr. Salem in the assault case, said he planned to ask Judge Deborah A. Batts to impose the same 32-year sentence on his client rather than a harsher one. So Deborah Batts is the bastard that sold out America, and she's a judge. And how did she get to be a judge? Who wasn't paying attention? And here's the story that took place at the hearing. As attacker is sentenced, a victim vents disgust and is ejected. Now remember, Deborah Batts is sitting on the bench. Batty Batts. A former Manhattan jail guard who was stabbed in the eye with a sharpened comb by a top aide to Osama bin Laden in 2000 was ejected from his attacker's sentencing hearing yesterday. And let me tell you something, guys. If you're out there on the battlefield, we don't need prisoners. We do not need to make a citizen's arrest. We need to win the war, and the way you win the war is you kill the enemy. And they came on the battlefield to kill you. Make sure that they leave the same way that you don't leave, the way they want you to leave. You make sure you take care of number one, and you finish him off on the battlefield. After he repeatedly shouted at the defendant and the judge. So Pepe got upset at the hearing. Dozens of his fellow correction officers walked out in protest from the hearing, at which the defendant was sentenced to 32 years in prison. You are no good. Do you understand me? The guard, Louis Pepe, yelled at Mamdou Mahmoud Salim. The defendant, why don't you kill me? I am dead. The judge, Deborah Batts of Federal District Court, ejected Mr. Pepe after he had been warned several times about outbursts that occurred outside the formal time allotted for his comments. As United States Marshals escorted him out of the courtroom in his own country, Mr. Pepe's voice, I'll put that in there, Mr. Pepe's voice echoed in the marble hall of the courthouse in Lower Manhattan. At the time of the attack at the correctional center in Lower Manhattan, Salim was awaiting charges of participating in a terrorism conspiracy. He's a founding member of Al-Qaeda, and he pleaded guilty to sharpening a comb and stabbing it into Pepe's eye. The stabbing was part of what prosecutors said was a larger plot to brutalize even more people, including Mr. Salim's lawyer, whom he wanted replaced with new counselors. Mr. Salim sharpened the comb using the underside of his concrete desk in his cell at the correctional center. He used the comb to attack Mr. Pepe in order to seize the keys to 10 South, the wing of the correctional center. Prosecutors have said he intended to free his co-defendants and take hostages. There was nobody watching out for Pepe. There wasn't nobody bird-dogging Pepe. He's cunning, he's devious, he's brutal, a prosecutor, Robert Bueller, told Judge Batts in seeking a life sentence. Officer Pepe was truly a nice man and a good person, and Salim picked him for that very reason. He lost his left eye because of the stabbing and some of the sight in his right eye. He bears a scar across the left side of his head above his ear. He has lost much of his movement in his right arm and leg, and 70% of his ability to speak. That could be your son that you got to take care of once this once these nuts turn all of the terrorists loose. And they're going to turn them loose. He was in court yesterday in a wheelchair to give what is referred to by the court system as a victim's impact statement. At times rambling and incomprehensible during the statement, Mr. Pepe raised his voice and banged his palm on the table from which he spoke. He repeatedly pointed to Mr. Salim, who held his head low. "Have you really ever looked?" he said, pointing to his left eye socket. "There's nothing in there." Mr. Pepe cannot read anymore, his sister Eileen Trotter said in a written statement. She gave to the court and the news media that she used the bright red images drawn on yellow paper to help Mr. Pepe remember what he wanted to say yesterday. Mr. Pepe described the torturous beating with punches and kicks after he had fallen to the ground, blinded by hot sauce. Mr. Salim and his cellmate, Khalfan Khamis Mohammed, his co-defendant in the embassy bombings, squirted into his face. At one point, he said he thought, "Oh God, please kill me. What did I do?" Mr. Pepe asked Judge Batts, "If you can, make it never, never, never," a reference, it seemed, to when Mr. Salim should be released from prison. And then later, Mr. Salim Richard B. Lynn enraged Mr. Pepe when he suggested that there was no prolonged torture on the day of the stabbing. Mr. Lynn also argued against a prison sentence that would exceed the federal guidelines, adding that Mr. Salim, who pleaded guilty to conspiracy and attempted murder, could have killed Mr. Pepe but did not. What, are you kidding me? At this point, Mr. Pepe shouted no from the audience. The judge asked for silence, and someone in the courtroom gallery protested, "Let him speak." As Pepe began to speak, Judge Batts asked the Marshals Service to step in and remove Mr. Pepe from the courtroom. Now, this is the guy who should be governor of the state of New York. So, you know what? He's out on disability. He was making $47,000 a year, and he took care of his aging parents. How's that? And now he's on two-thirds of $47,000. He sits blind in a room. And here's an article from CNN. Prosecutors don't have video of jail stabbing. When Federal Corrections Officer Louis Pepe was stabbed in the eye inside the maximum security wing, of Manhattan's federal jail last November, the video cameras were on, as they are 24 hours a day, the monitor screens working. But when FBI agents investigated the attack, which allegedly came at the hands of terrorist conspirators, what could have been powerful evidence did not exist. There was no videotape showing the hallways and cells at the time of the attack. A federal jury heard on Thursday as the Pepe stabbing was recounted for the second day. Government prosecutors are offering the incident as proof of the future probable danger from Khalfan Khamis Mohammed, the convicted Tanzania embassy bomber who faces the death penalty. And Mohammed shared a jail cell at the time with his inmate. So the two guys were in the same cell. Boy, that really makes sense. How's that for security? I bet you Justin Volpe doesn't get to share a cell with anybody. How sad. Absolutely sad. The comb-turned weapon was purchased at the jail commissary. According to prosecution evidence, FBI Joel Felsch told the jury that agents found commissary receipts inside the inmate cell indicating that Salem had purchased two combs and a brush, and that Mohammed had purchased two brushes since the beginning of their incarceration. Oh, they must do a lot of hairdos. The government alleges Salem also stabbed one of the officers responding to the Pepe attack with a brush sharpened into a shank. Agents found six handwritten scraps of paper inside the Mohammed Salem cell, but no agents could recall the notes' exact locations. For example, under which bed were they found, and the only fingerprints and palm prints detected on the notes belonged to Salem and FBI fingerprint analyst Charles Akubelis. And they went into their own routine, we're Muslims and we're being discriminated against. Yeah. Okay, so that's it. So you met Louis Pepe. How do you feel about him? Would you like to go visit him? Where is he today? Is he happier or sadder? How do you think he felt on 911? Do you think he tore his heart out on 911? Listening to those people screaming, whose screams were silenced in a minute and a half, and we got a president that just has decided he's going to turn them all loose. He's going to give them back to other countries. Who's he going to give them to? Yemen? They go home for lunch in Yemen. How can he give them to a country that tortures worse than we do? How can he do a Pontius Pilate? The man is a fool. He's a dupe. And he's done bad news today. And many a black soldier will die because of it. Along with their white brothers.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed his fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Of 100 circling camps, they have built for him an altar in the evening dews and depths. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His face is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. far across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men whole, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. While God is marching.
Look homeward, angel, tell me what you see. Do the folks I used to know remember me? Look homeward, angel, find my lady fair. Does she dream about the love we used to share? I miss her. Angel, while she's dreaming, won't you kiss her? Look homeward, angel. One thing I must know, do her empty arms still yearn for me alone? So she'll know how very much I miss her. Angel, while she's dreaming, won't you kiss her? No, to her empty.
left